Ezekiel chapter 3. I'm going to read from verse 16 to verse 21. Just give your attention to the Word of God. And at the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way in order to save his life, that wicked person shall die for his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn away from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die for his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. Again, if a righteous person turns from his righteousness and commits injustice, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you have not warned him, he shall die for his sin, and his righteous deeds that he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the righteous person not to sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning, and you will have delivered your soul. In a dangerous world, how can you go to sleep at night? I speak realizing that most of us are not in that dangerous of a circumstance. We lock our door and we go to sleep. And if the neighborhood gets a little bit worse, you get a big dog or an alarm system and you lock the door and you go to sleep. But if you are in a military unit and you are in range of the enemy, how do you sleep outside at night? You set a watchman. You take turns. You, 9 to 12. You, 12 to 3. You, 3 to 6. And then you all go to sleep, trusting that your watchman will not go to sleep, but he will stay awake and give warning if need be. Or imagine that you're on the ship, outside of sight of land. I know, now you use a GPS, but go back, 10 years ago. You don't have a GPS. Now what do? Go back 1,000 years ago. Will you ever see land again? Suppose you're trying to hit some island out there. What do to make sure you don't miss it? Put a watchman up on top of the mast, and he keeps a lookout. Or the ancient cities that had a wall around them. They have a wall around them to keep the enemy out, but that's no good if the gates are wide open. So how do you know if it's safe enough to open the gate up? The city needs a tower, and in the tower you need the watchman. And there are dramatic moments in Scripture where the watchman is watching. There's one where David is told that one of his sons has killed all the others. And actually, Absalom only killed one of the others. But he's told that he killed all of the others. And the whole city is in suspense. And the watchman says, I see people coming. And it's David's other sons. Or with David and Absalom, there's another watchman story. David is too old. His army says, you can't go out to fight. You stay back in the city. We'll go fight Absalom. And so, Joab kills Absalom. And a young man says, can I run and tell David? And he says, no, you, foreigner, you go run and tell David. And the young man's still eager. Can I run and tell David? All right, go. And so the watchman's watching. And he says to the king, I see a man running. David says, if he's alone, he's bringing news. There's a whole lot of them that we lost. And the watchman says, I see a second man running. David says, well, he also brings news. You have the drama of the two coming and making their separate reports. But it all kicks off with the watchman. I see a man running. Or maybe the best watchman story is the prophet Elisha tells a young man of the prophets, go and anoint General Jehu king. He's out fighting on the front. And so General Jehu, being anointed king, says, all right, I'm going to race back to the capital and get them before they are ready. So he has all of his chariot force and they're all riding furiously. And the watchman in the capital city says,
There's chariots coming.
So they send out a man on a horse who could ride faster than the horses that have to drag a chariot. And he goes out, and General Jehu says, get behind him. The watchman says, well, he got out to him, but he's not coming back. So they send out another horseman. Jehu says, get behind him. And the watchman says, he didn't come back either, and it must be Jehu, because he's driving like a crazy man. It's a crucial job to watch and warn of danger. The watchman doesn't cause the danger. The watchman can't stop the danger, but he can tell you to get ready. And if he doesn't, he can cause his unit to be slaughtered. Or in that last example, he can cause a regime to fall. The duty of a watchman is very simple. Keep watch and announce the truth clearly. Don't go to sleep. Don't cry wolf. And don't fall silent when you should say something. Tell us what you see, because our lives depend on it. Now, God's word applies this title, watchman, to prophets. A prophet is a man that God has appointed to be a watchman. Now, a prophet is more than a watchman. A prophet has several functions, of which watchman is just one. A prophet predicts the future. A prophet confronts people. A prophet encourages people. A prophet does a bunch of things, but one of them is to warn of danger. And it's that warning of danger that is the watchman function. The prophet must say, you're sinning against God, you're breaking His covenant, and His wrath is coming unless you repent. The trouble for the prophet is that he's not received as well as the watchman. First of all, because the watchman does not have an offensive message. The watchman says there's danger out there. The prophet says there's danger because of what you're doing. And the natural man doesn't like that. But secondly, of course, people prefer the watchman. They can accept the watchman when they don't accept the prophet, because somebody else can climb up on the tower and take a look for himself. If Pascal is up on the steeple during a work day, and he says, there's a tornado coming towards us. And we say, Pascal, it's a sunny day. And he says, I know, but there's a tornado coming towards us. We can say, Durham, would you get up there and give us a second opinion on that? And we can find out if, in fact, there is a tornado. But when God gives a word to a prophet, God may or may not have given that same word to another prophet. And so it's a harder thing. So people are tempted not to listen to the prophet when he does his watchman duty. They're tempted to disregard, hate, or persecute the prophet. That's not true. There's no danger. That means that prophets are tempted more than watchmen to shirk their calling. We know about Jonah. He didn't want to be a watchman to Nineveh because he wanted Nineveh destroyed. I don't want to warn them. I want God's wrath to fall on them. But Jeremiah complains, Lord, you've given me such an unpleasant job. I have to tell them about your wrath, and they don't want to hear it, and they're not listening. So to show the prophets the responsibility, God told them, remember that you are watchmen. You have the same duty as watchmen. Their duty is obvious, and yours is the same. And that's what we read here. God told Ezekiel that he was a watchman. First two chapters of Ezekiel, God appears to Ezekiel in an awe-inspiring vision. He sees this cloud coming out of the north, and there's lightning, and there's thunder, and there's the wheels within the wheels, and there's the creatures with the faces going in all directions, and above that, there's a throne, and there's God above it. It's an overwhelming vision. And he appears, and he calls Ezekiel son of man, human being. And he says, son of man, I'm going to send you to speak to Israel, and they won't listen to you. The forehead is as hard as flint. Don't worry, I've made your forehead as hard as flint too. So go talk to them. And that's not a fun job. Ezekiel sits overwhelmed for 7 days. Overwhelmed by the vision. And overwhelmed by the job. Bring God's word to people who won't listen to you. And so what we come to in this passage is God coming back to him a week later with another statement of his responsibility. I told you to go tell them. Just as a watchman must do his job,
so must you.
And he drives home Ezekiel's responsibility as well as his limited power. If I say to the wicked, you shall die, and you don't pass that on to the wicked, he'll die for his own sin, but you, I will require his blood from you. But if you do tell him and he doesn't repent, then you're in the clear. He'll die, but you'll be innocent. He's saying it's not for the watchman to decide, they're not going to believe this, so I'm not going to say it. It's not for Pascal to decide, well, there is a tornado, but they're not going to believe me, so oh well. Yeah. The danger's coming, you must speak. And God wants to assure Ezekiel, it's not that no one's going to listen to you. So he goes on for a better scenario. If the righteous person begins to sin, and God's judgment is coming, and I tell you to warn him, and you warn him, and he repents, well, then he won't die. Because he's a righteous person. Remember, the righteous person is not the person who never sins. The righteous person is the one who repents when confronted. He will live. You have been a successful watcher. And if he does not repent, well, then he'll die. But you will be innocent. Watchmen, great responsibility and limited power. All they can do is warn. Cannot make the people respond. But they're not to be discouraged by their limited power. They're to look up to God and do the job that God gave them. And they're to be strengthened in that by thinking about why it is that God sends prophets. Why does God send prophets? Because he'd rather that you repent than that he have to judge you. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He takes pleasure in repentance. But he will by no means let evil go on forever. And so evil must stop, either by repentance or by God's judgment. Being full of mercy, God sends the prophets to be watchmen, to call for repentance. Because the watchman is to be strengthened, knowing God's gracious purpose, and the people are to listen all the more. Now, who are God's watchmen? How many are there? I've been calling the prophets that. So far, I've only pointed out that God called Ezekiel a watchman, but in Hosea 9:8, it says, the prophet is the watchman of Ephraim with my God. And in Jeremiah 6, God says, I set watchmen over you, Israel, saying, pay attention, but you would not. So we see in those cases, all the prophets have this function, that they are watchmen. And when you come to Jesus, he would announce God's will and say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Which is pretty similar to the idea here. Ezekiel's job is to say it. It's up to the person whether they are wicked or righteous, whether they listen or not. And so Paul said to the church in Ephesus, I am innocent of your blood because I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Because he told the whole message, he's innocent of their blood. That's the watchman idea. You know, now what you do with it is on you. But I have told you. So Paul describes himself there as functioning like a watchman. And so he says to Timothy, preach, reprove, rebuke, exhort. All warning words there. And Paul is speaking to Timothy in Timothy's role as pastor. And so all pastors have this function. To warn. As the pastor speaks God's word to you and instructs you and comforts you and encourages you, he also must warn you. The warning is the watchman function. There's danger in that. Wake up and repent of that. Church discipline also warns. Warns the sinner. Warns the congregation. Warns everyone who hears of it. What you do with the knowledge is on you. But you know. You know that the elders have declared this to be a great sin. You know you've been told to watch out for it. Obviously, we are to listen to the watchman. The devil desperately wants to silence watchmen because it's so much easier to conquer a city when the people are not ready. It's so much easier to conquer a family when the family won't hear from God. So the devil tries to silence the watchman or discredit the watchman so the people won't listen. You know, pastors always say this stuff. You don't have to listen to that.
You can go for that and be the devil stooge, or you can be wise and listen. And it's easier for us. It was pretty hard for them, the exiles. You've got Jeremiah sending you a letter and Ezekiel telling you 70 years. And you got all these other guys calling themselves prophets saying, oh no, just two or three. Who are you supposed to believe? But we have the whole counsel of God here. And so when somebody presents something to us and says, thus says the Lord, you say, let me check that. The synagogue in Berea in Greece is praised for that. Paul came to them and said, we have found the Messiah. It's Jesus. He was crucified and he rose from the dead. And they said, let's check that. And they read their scripture. Now, I've met someone who told me that she was definitely set as a watchman. She was someone who would go to a church for a while and then tell them all the things they're doing wrong and go to the next church and tell them all the things they were doing wrong and then go to the next one and tell them definitely set as a watchman. How do you respond to that? It was my last conversation with this person, as you might guess. I didn't have to say anything to her. But what do you think about that? Why don't you go and you check the word? And if you're uncertain, you say, can I run this by a legitimate authority? Jesus promised that he would build this church and the gates of hell would never prevail against it. I can find somebody who can help me out reading the Bible and sizing up this self-appointed watchman. You need to be careful. Warnings are not pleasant, and especially not prophetic warnings. I mean, if you don't like the fire alarm because it's a nasty noise, how much less do you like a warning from a pulpit or a warning from someone that you're sinning? It's like the fire alarm, only it's more accusatory. You don't like to hear it. But it's an essential thing. Remember the watchman. When God tells Ezekiel, I've set you as a watchman, Ezekiel wrote it down. Because it wasn't just for him. It was for everybody else too. You need to take care. The one who speaks most nicely is not always the one who speaks most truly. 100 years ago, there was a battle raging in the mainline churches. What are the mainline churches? They're the Protestant denominations that have churches on main streets. Okay? Right. You go through main street of a town, all right? The mainline denominations have buildings on main street. We're not on main street. We never have been. Okay? Yeah. There was a battle raging. The fundamentalists said, the Bible is the word of God. The liberals said, yeah, but we know better. And the numbers were about equal, but there was a lot of people who didn't know what they thought. And part of the story was that the liberals were very careful to always sound nicer. And some of the fundamentalists were not very good at sounding nicer. And so the mushy middle that didn't know what they thought said, well, he seems mean and he seems nice, so we'll vote with these guys. And those denominations are increasingly out of step with the Word of God, having pretty much decided that that was the path they would take 80, 90, or 100 years ago. Remember, unbelievers can be very nice. Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light. You need to listen to the substance. And so pastors here are warned, declare the whole counsel of God, don't hold anything back. People are warned, you need to listen to warnings. Don't just take the happy parts. You need the whole counsel of God. Do you have any other responsibilities? In Galatians 6:1, we read, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. You who are spiritual. And that's supposed to be all of us, because he's just spent half a chapter saying, don't walk by the flesh, but walk by the Spirit. And so that should be the goal of all of us, to be at that point of spiritual maturity, where we can say, yes, I am one of those who is spiritual, and so I must go and speak to the one caught in a transgression. tells us how to do it. Restore him. Humbly. Gently. Cautiously. And in this way, we enter into God's good work. Because why does God warn? He warns because he loves us and would rather see us repent than be destroyed. And so in love, he has sent some to be watchmen. And our job is to hear it. Let's join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that we would hear this description and understand your good purpose in this angle of the prophetic work, this part of the purpose of your word. And help us, Lord, ever to respond when we are justly rebuked. Help us always to be quick to hear and slow to speak, quick to repent, and quick to forgive. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.